From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. In this series, In the Law of God, Dr. Cairns continues to expound the first commandment, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. In introducing this message, Dr. Cairns emphasized that the law must be preached in the right way, not as a means to salvation, but to show men their need and to point them to Christ. God commands certain things and forbids others to show men what He expects of them. Although the commandments reveal God's justice, they also display His mercy, for He will accept spiritual worship. In the first commandment, God claims the sole right to men's worship, clearly forbidding that worship to be offered to anyone or anything else. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Heaven is a place where we shall never sin, where we shall cease our constant watch against an indefatigable enemy, because there will be no tempter to ensnare our feet. There the wicked cease from troubling, and the weary are at rest. Heaven is the undefiled inheritance. It is the land of perfect holiness, and therefore of complete security. But do not the saints, even on earth, sometimes taste the joys of blissful security? The doctrine of God's word is that all who are in union with the Lamb are safe, that all the righteous shall hold on their way, that those who have committed their souls to the keeping of Christ shall find Him a faithful and immutable preserver. Sustained by such a doctrine, we can enjoy security even on earth. Not that high and glorious security which renders us free from every slip, but that holy security which arises from the sure promise of Jesus, that none who believe in Him shall ever perish, but shall be with Him where He is. Believer, let us often reflect with joy on the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, and honor the faithfulness of our God by a holy confidence in Him. May our God bring home to you a sense of your safety in Christ Jesus. May He assure you that your name is graven on His hand, and whisper in your ear the promise, Fear not, I am with thee. Look upon Him, the great surety of the covenant, as faithful and true, and therefore bound and engaged to present you, the weakest of the family, with all the chosen race before the throne of God. And in such a sweet contemplation, you will drink the juice of the spiced wine of the Lord's pomegranate, and taste the dainty fruits of paradise. You will have an antepast of the enjoyments which ravish the souls of the perfect saints above, if you can believe with unstaggering faith that faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it.
Christ, come and listen.
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Now you'll see how the Lord is talking to His people here. This is what the law of God inculcates into the people of God. That they will be a just people. That they will be a merciful people. A people marked by loving kindness. A people who will treat others as their Savior has treated them. The third great duty is faith. Faith in God and in His Son. Faith in His Word to guide us in the exercise of both justice and mercy. In other words, and this is where the liberals have all gone so far wrong, in your exercise of justice, in your exercise of mercy, tie it all in to the heart of the gospel. Never let it lead you away from the cross of Christ. Faith in Scripture always is Christ-centered. It is always cross-centered. Therefore, the law of God would tell us justice and mercy and faith are our great duties as we live in this world. So we must not fail to pay attention to these weightier matters of the law. In other words, what the Savior is saying, and this is very true in the context of Matthew 23, it's very easy for you to read the Ten Commandments and say, well, I haven't bowed down to an idol, I haven't made a graven image, I don't curse and swear by the name of God, I try to keep the Sabbath day, I try to honor my parents, I am not a murderer, I am not an adulterer, I am not a thief, I am not covetous, I am not a liar, and therefore, how good a person I am. But the Lord says, remember, get beyond the surface. Get beyond the surface. And remember, if you know the law of God, God commands you to justice and mercy and faith. But you know, those three words can only teach us our duty because they first reveal three great truths about God from the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments present us with God's judgment. They are just. And any man who can understand these, if you cast your mind back to my dealing with the spirituality of the law, any man who can understand these will realize that they make us feel our sin and they make us face our condemnation in the flesh. Every one of the Ten Commandments cries out judgment against every one of us by nature. But these same commandments also reveal mercy. They teach us clearly that the great and holy and almighty God is approachable. He will receive spiritual worship. He has made provision for our rest, the fourth commandment. He has set before us a rich provision and a rich inheritance, the fifth commandment. The prohibitions of His law and the precepts of His law are for our good. When God says, thou shalt not, it is for our good. As I pointed out, quite a few of these commandments have an implicit or explicit reference to the family. They're not only good for the individual, they're good for the family. And as goes the family, so goes the nation. What is good for the family is ultimately good for the entire community. And of course, by the very perfection of their standards, the Ten Commandments show us the impossibility of us pleasing God by the efforts we make to keep them. The very standard of perfection set up here would show us that we must depend on a righteousness not of our own making, but one outside of ourselves. John Calvin saw that many years ago when he summed up the entire Ten Commandments, and he said that from the law we learn that God is our Father and our ruler, who delights in righteousness and justice, and to whom we should render righteous obedience. And he says, from the law we also learn our inability to attain to righteousness, by our attempts at obeying God's law, that therefore we must seek for that righteousness outside of ourselves. If we understand these Ten Commandments properly, they will bring us under a burden of sin. They will even bring us under a terror of wrath in order to make us flee to Him who provides righteousness freely for us, fulfilling the law and satisfying God on our behalf. It should never be forgotten, of course, that with the Ten Commandments, God gave the entire sacrificial system of the Old Testament, so that as the commandments in themselves cried judgment, remember, the blood offerings in all their various details cried mercy for sinners, and they point us to the sacrifice of Christ. So that therefore the commandments ultimately call us to faith. They bid us to believe God's judgment. If you read these Ten Commandments aright, listen, my friend, you will have to believe in a God of judgment. You'll have to believe in a God of justice, a God of inflexible purity, a God who deals with sin, a God who takes sin so seriously that He will judge every breach of His holy, pure law. When you come to the Ten Commandments, you will be driven to believe in the judgment of God. That is not a very popular doctrine in the days in which we live. This is a day when even so-called evangelical scholars are denying the literalness and the reality of hell. They're denying that God is a God of wrath. They're telling people that ultimately, somehow, someday, somewhere, it will all be all right for everybody. But that is not true. God is a God of judgment. God is a God of wrath. That is the message of the commandments. But they bid us also exercise faith in His mercy, cast ourselves upon His promise, and receive from Him the free gift of the eternal life that He has provided for us in His Son and our Redeemer. Now that's the biblical use of the Ten Commandments. And we mustn't fail to see that they all point to Christ for salvation and for the power to do our duty as Christians. You may recollect a few weeks ago I said, as we studied the full force of the Ten Commandments, I said that they showed us five things. We want to try and keep these in mind: the holiness of God, the goodness of God, the wickedness of man, the sinlessness of Christ, and the righteousness of believers. Now that's what we've got to try and keep in mind. It's quite a lot to keep in our minds as we come to individual commandments. Now, with this in mind, we come to the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. That is the first commandment. The Shorter Catechism, I think, catches the meaning of the first commandment rather brilliantly. It's very brief, and yet it is a brilliant synopsis of the teaching of the first commandment. Tells you first what it requires, then what it forbids, and then this special meaning of the words, "Before Me, thou shalt have no other gods before Me." It tells us that the first commandment requires us to know, underline that first verb, to know and acknowledge God to be the true God and our God, and to worship and glorify Him. That's what the first commandment requires. Then the first commandment forbids the denying or not worshiping and glorifying the true God as God and our God, and the giving of that worship and glory to any other that is due to Him alone. Now what about these words before me? These words before me in the first commandment teach us that God, who seeth all things, taketh notice of and is much displeased with the sin of having any other God. Now, in a nutshell, that is the entire teaching of the first commandment. Let's try to sum it up even more simply and directly. As we consider all these things, we learn that the Lord commands our exclusive worship and condemns every form of idolatry. The Lord commands our exclusive worship and condemns every form of idolatry. We may set that out in three very simple headings. The first commandment teaches us first the exclusive dignity of Jehovah. He says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Here the Lord is claiming the worship of all His creatures. In a very clear way, He is saying, "I am God, and beside me there is no other God." That's the constant testimony of Scripture. The Lord our God is one Lord. And the idea is not only of the unity of the Godhead, but He's the one and only God. Exodus 15, as soon as the children of Israel had crossed the Red Sea, they burst out into the great song of Moses. And in verse 11, there is that question, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" In Deuteronomy 32, verse 39, Jehovah said, "See now that I, even I, am He, and there is no God with me. I kill, and I make alive. I wound, and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand." The prophet Isaiah has a lot to say on this subject, quoting the words of Jehovah Himself. In Isaiah 37 and verse 16, we read, "O Lord of hosts, God of Israel that dwelleth between the cherubims, Thou art the God, even Thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, Thou hast made heaven and earth." Again and again, especially through the prophets, the Lord says, "I am God. Beside me there is no God. I know not any. I recognize none. There was no God with me at the beginning. There is no God with me now. And when all is said and done and everything is wrapped up, there will be no other God but I." That is the constant testimony of the Lord Jehovah in the Old Testament Scriptures. The New Testament continues the witness. Paul writes in Ephesians 4, "Of one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." In 1 Timothy 1:17, he gives this great ascription of praise unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. He tells Timothy in the second chapter, there is one God. You remember how Jude finishes his epistle with another great outburst of praise: "To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever." So here's the voice of Scripture. There is only one God, one Creator, one Upholder, one Disposer of all things, one Ruler, one Savior.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.